There we go. Daniel 7, Daniel 8. We're going to look at all the 27 verses. And the title is Vision Appeared Unto Me. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yet he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall a vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen a vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make you know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Gracia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kings shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, four kingdoms. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. In chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, we'll be given another breakdown of what was discussed in chapter 7 and see the dream is one principle in play once again with these very parallel chapters. Genesis 41, verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh was one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. In chapter 7, it's in the first year of the reign of Belshazzar that Daniel had visions of his head upon his bed, and he told Nebuchadnezzar the sum of the matters of this dream. The vision Daniel had represents the day of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ that declares that all nations will be saved through judgment that will come upon each man in his own order. It is in the first year of Belshazzar's reign, which represents the day of the Lord, that Daniel is given these powerful dreams of four great beasts that came up from the sea, diverse one from another, which we've gone through those. Then in chapter 8, it is in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar that this next vision comes unto Daniel. And as the number reveals, it will be a vision that is centered around the process of judgment that must unfold during the day of the Lord that Daniel is witnessing to without comprehending the spiritual meaning of these very powerful dreams that caused him to faint and be sick for days. Daniel 8, 27, verse 27, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So the first three verses, the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. What appeared unto Daniel at first was the first vision of chapter 7. And so this vision of chapter 8 is adding unto the vision from chapter 7 and was written for the elect's sake upon whom the end of the ages has come. Daniel cannot stand any more than any other man without God's Spirit abiding in him. And chapter 8 points to how we can stand spiritually when we are given to trust in the Lord and stop believing that we contribute anything to our salvation. With that miracle of having God's Holy Spirit within, we can labor to enter into the rest that is found in Christ, knowing that he will make a way for us to stand as described in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. So verses 11 to 13, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's nice to put these three verses together because then we see the hope that we can receive when we look at these stories and we read them. We realize this is talking about something that applies to our spiritual walk. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The vision that comes to pass finds Daniel at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai, a place that represents Babylon, where God is already preparing our hearts to come out of her, my people, through these visions that he sets before us via his word that is a light unto our path in this dark world. Thy word, none. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 28:29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Those are the words. Shushan is lily, from lily, the root word. And olam, for probably, oh, this is the same word, to veil, H5956, hidden. That's for olam, distant. And Yulai is my leaders, mighties. This river Yulai, which means my leaders, and I mean, you can think of the Babylonian leaders because that's what this is talking about, does not represent the rivers of living waters that God will eventually give to all men, but rather the waters of Babylon that need to be purified with the fiery judgment of God's word. It is at Shushan, Lily, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, hidden, where we learn in time that there really is no stairs. We immediately lose our first love in this vast wilderness that we all must go into at first to later come out of her as God's people, the Israel of God. And we really are hidden in there in Christ. Christ is the lily of the valley. It is when God opens our eyes to see the truth, symbolized by this statement, then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, that we then begin to understand the vision of this ram by the river. The two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. For Daniel, the interpretation will be given in time, but alas, never the spiritual inward meaning of what these horns mean, seeing it was not written for his admonition, but of course for ours. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. There are two horns being spoken of in Babylon, two powers rather, spoken of in Babylon with this imagery of a goat by the river. Two horns on the goat represents the witness of Babylon, the power that's in Babylon. However, the horn that comes up last is the prominent horn of mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots in this age that has waxed rich. The smaller horn is the small beginning of the churches of Asia, which all forsook Paul in time, where the mystery of iniquity was already at work back in that time. Revelation 17, verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, for the mystery of iniquity, this is mystery Babylon, there's already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. That was the start of it. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And we know that's obviously inwardly, that's what has to happen in order to have those waters washed. That historical outward dispensational view is one way of looking at the horns. However, thinking of these horns inwardly, we are reminded of Christ's words to tell us that we must lose our horn, our power in this life, if we are going to come to learn to trust solely on the Lord for our salvation. Having our hand and foot cut off symbolizes how we overcome the mystery of iniquity, which is our own righteousnesses that takes credit for the works that are done with our hands and our feet. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah 64, verse 6, and Ezekiel 33, verse 13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. And I heard Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Mark 10, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, and that's, of course, how we feel toward the mystery of iniquity that has a hold of the whole world, all of Babylon, all of the world, they're in bondage. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. So lose that horn, God willing, and recognize, of course, that his works and what he's done in his flesh is not being attributed to God. And that's when we become rich, when we recognize, no, it's all of the Lord. We're the workmanship of the Lord. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And of course he didn't, because he wasn't his time. And if our names are written in heaven, we will have treasure in heaven, because the Lord will manifest those works which were ordained from the foundation of the world. So it's all a matter of what God is doing. Mark 9, verse 43 and 44 to 45. And if your hand offend you, speaking to the elect now, speaking about our works, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, lose that horn, God willing, than having two hands to go into hell, the lake of fire, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot offend you, cut it off, lose that horn, God willing. It is better for you to enter halt into life, like Jacob, whose hip was put out of place, that's a type and shadow of that, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 4, I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no beasts might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Mystery Babylon has become great, but he did according to his will and became great. That's that mystery of iniquity again, as another Jesus in name only. And that's what Isaiah 4:1 says, wanting the name of Christ only, but we'll eat our own food and wear our own clothing. Coming from the east, as Christ would, the true Christ. However, this counterfeit Christ does the same. He comes from the east as well. But Christ, the true Christ, comes as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, this counterfeit Christ pushes towards the west, the north, and south, and dominates the world scene with the mark of the beast, which is the number of a man, so that mankind cannot buy or sell unless they have this number. That number represents our being yet in bondage to the powers and principalities of this world, the man of perdition on the throne, those powers represented by the goat, whose spirit works within Mystery Babylon. And to this day, he tries to take the kingdom by force, pushing westward, northward, and southward, as we read in Revelation 14 and Matthew 11, saying, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, which is just another way of saying, who is able to make war with him, of Revelation 13, verse 4. And Matthew 11, 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And verse 5, as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. The he-goat that comes from the west represents the powers and principalities we wrestle against in our heavens that touched not the ground. It comes from the west in the opposite direction of Christ, Matthew 24, 27 again, this time opposing the truth. And this goat had a notable horn between his eyes that represents the fourth empire that we talked about in Daniel 7, verse 23. The fourth horn also, Daniel 7, verse 20. As well as the feet of miry clay and iron of Nebuchadnezzar's statue that he dreamed of in Daniel 2, verse 43. And the fourth interpretation of Daniel's dream of the most fierce of all the deferring beasts. So in Daniel 7, verse 19. So God really wants us to see that point. This is talking about the end of the age, the violent and the powerful forces that God is going to allow to be unleashed. And they all reveal that these all reveal the same composite beast spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. It all points to that chapter. This he-goat, as we saw in chapter 7, has power to overtake the whole earth and will prevail against the elect, but not overcome them, because the horn, Christ's power, Colossians 1:27 and Romans 8:9, the Holy Spirit within, the hope of glory within, that is in the elect, is greater than him who is in the world. This notable horn is used of the Lord as a spirit that is sent to try the patience and faith of the saints in this life, and especially at the end of our age in these marred vessels of clay. Ephesians 6:12, we know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verses 6 and 7, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which had been standing before the river, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. This goat with the notable horn represents the beast that will make war against the harlot church and burn her with fire of Revelation 17, verses 16 to 18. The goat ran unto him in the fury of his power with the intention of taking away the two horns of the ram that represent the ram's power. The power of the church is taken away at the end of the age as the beast rules over the harlot, being bitterly enraged against her, and he was moved with choler. The stamping that this goat with the notable horn does is the same terminology describing the fourth beast or fourth empire in Daniel 7, verse 23, that is also represented by the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream that was mixed part of iron and part of miry clay in Daniel 2, verse 43. Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17, and the 10 horns which he saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Daniel 7, verse 23, then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Daniel 2, verse 43. And whereas thou saw iron mixed with iron, miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And then verse 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. The he-goat represents the fourth empire that waxes great, and in his strength he breaks the great horn of Babylon, the great, in 1 hour. Revelation 18:2. Revelation 18:1 and 2. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having a great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. God's elect are admonished with these following verses of Revelation 18, the next verses, 3-4, as these outward events of the falling of Babylon unfold. Verses 3-4, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now, you know, just if we just ask ourselves, how is that possible that God is talking about all of the earth? There has to be something, some common denominator, and we know what it is. We know what that common denominator is. It's the mystery of iniquity. It's the self-righteousness. It's the spirit that's in all mankind that God is dealing with, and he has to demonstrate it to us through these different beasts, of course, and the horns, and all the different symbology so that we see it. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Kings of the earth committed fornication. The earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So what are her plagues? We just read it. The 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And that's, we live those words because when we go through that experience of coming out of Babylon, it's a progressive thing, it's a judgment. It takes time, but we experience those fiery trials as God brings us to see how the man of perdition has to be destroyed on the throne of our hearts if we're blessed to have that happen in this age. Verses 9 and 10. And out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land this time. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. There's that stamping again. These next two verses start to describe the attack that the beast will have on the churches of Babylon. And it's really not just the churches, it's Babylon, but it's centered on the churches and tells us it will cast down of the host and of the stars, which stars represent the false ministers or messengers, which are angels that will be brought down to the ground and stamped upon, meaning their supposed salty words have been proven to have no lasting savor and are now being trodden underfoot by men. Mark 13, verse 25, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And that there's an inward application, of course. That's when all of our false doctrines start falling down, and our misplaced understanding of how we look at men and how we look at the church. Matthew 5, 13 and 14, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verses 11 and 12. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground. And it practiced and prospered. These end time events of Daniel, these verses here, are expressed in Daniel 7, verse 25, as a changing of times, and represents the abomination of desolation being set up in the temple of God, which is the transgression that this goat inflicts upon Mystery Babylon. The he-goat is a healthy, complete beast magnifying itself. He magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. What he does is exalt himself and tear down the prince of the host, who represents the religious elite at the end of this age. The sanctuary being cast down means that Babylon will no longer have any power or authority as it once had in the earth. All of these events herald the end of this age and the return of our Lord and Savior. I'm not going to read all of Matthew 24, but it parallels very well with Daniel 7 and 8, if you have a chance. Daniel 7, verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times." Matthew 24, verses 14 to 17, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, not to convert, but to witness, and then shall the end come, unless you are being converted by it," and that's God's call. "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation within us, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. When you see these things, we are to come together often and encourage each other, because we're going to be hated by all men for his name's sake. But we're promised that God will take us through it. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. A song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. In verse 13, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" The transgression of desolation typifies the abomination of desolation spoken of in Mark chapter 13, verse 14. And the answer to this question of how long is answered for us in Revelation 6:10. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And he will, but it's just the timing is in God's hands. So it's in the aorist tense, because there are those who have endured to the end, and we're, God willing, enduring to the end, and others after us, depending on when our Lord returns. And it's also found in Daniel 7:25, verse 25, where we're told how long the saints must endure in order to be saved at the end of this trying and testing time, where we're told, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." The inward application of these events has been true for every Christian since Pentecost. However, there is an outward end time event as well that we're looking at here. Mark chapter 13, verse 14, "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." And the same verse, "I look to the mountains," of Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. So it ought not to be there, but it has to be there until the time that God has ordained that Christ enters in and destroys that man of perdition by the brightness of his coming. Verse 14, "And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." So the temple that we are. The numbers in God's word, we know they mean what they mean, not what they say. And until a time and times and a dividing of times of Daniel 7:25, chapter 7, verse 25, is the same as the 2,300 days of Daniel 8, verse 14. The 3.5 years represents the time of Christ's ministry within the body of Christ that is accomplished by grace through faith, which is represented by the numbers 2,300 days. The 2 plus 3 adding to 5, which represents grace. The number 2 is the witness of Christ's life within us, who makes it possible for us to go through the process of judgment in this life, represented by the number 3. Verses 15 and 16, and it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. This man's voice represents the angels or messengers of God that the elect are to each other. It is by the church that the manifest knowledge of God is made known, represented by the appearance of a man and a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And I put down the verse, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we really see it approaching. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Daniel, as was discussed in chapter 7, is given the physical interpretation of the vision, but not the spiritual inward meaning, which is reserved for those to whom he prophesied unto the elect. There is fear associated with not knowing. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But when God's Spirit enters into the elect and the Comforter leads us into all truth, his love is shed abroad in our hearts so that fear is pushed away and the torment is overcome through Christ. The body of Christ prays and helps each other in that regard with our fervent prayers that avail to that end. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 8, verses 31 to 32. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 1 Peter 1:12, we read that where we realize that he prophesied not unto himself, but unto us, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And that's what Christ said too. Prophets and kings have wanted to know these things. They've desired it, but they've not been given to see what the body of Christ is given that honor and privilege. 1 John 4:17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And this is what God's perfecting in the body of Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. James 5, verses 15 and 16, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So that's how important our prayers are for one another. They free us from the bondage of sin. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Daniel 8, verses 18 and 19. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make you know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Daniel is like one of the 10 virgins being awoken from his sleep and typifies how we must trim our lamps in order to know what shall be at the time appointed the end. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, Matthew 25, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, ill will. That's the trimming of our lamps. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That is the fruit of the Spirit produced through a trimmed lamp. And that's just the ongoing calling that we have. The Lord is, we die daily, he prunes us, he trims us, and good fruit is born out of those things because it puts an end. The suffering, the trials we go through put an end to these spirits that God is exercising out of us. Verses 20 to 24. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. The rough goat is the king of Gracia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter kingdoms are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And that's really just talking about Satan, because, and those three spirits that are released at the end, which is what will be allowed. God is going to let things unravel, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. In this section of Daniel, we're being given another rundown of the stature of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, starting with the ram, which you saw having two horns, and the kings of Media and Persia that represent the Medo-Persian Empire. And this just shows us, you know, the word of God is in aorist tense, not all of it, but we can look at these empires and think they didn't go away. And from God's perspective, they're still in the heart of men. All of these empires reside, represent the man of perdition that's still there. Then the rough goat is the king of Gracia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, which represent the Grecian empire, whose power and influence upon the world is described this way. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The last part of Nebuchadnezzar's statue is represented by the fourth empire, which will be the most dominant, which we've made really, the scriptures make it really clear, dominant of all the empires. Now that being broken, the third empire broken by the fourth, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. This empire that represents the end of the age for mankind has taken on an evil power that exceeds all the other empires. And so it is expressed this way, but not in his power, meaning not as the other empires rule. No, this represents the time when God will send forth evil spirits that will be given power to dominate all the kingdoms of this world, making it possible for the sins of the Amorites to reach their fullness, which is spoken of in Genesis, when the transgressors are come to the full, in other words. Genesis 15, verse 16, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full, but it will be in the fourth generation. That's the whole. When God is wrapping it up, he allows that to manifest very clearly. He'll show mankind what they are, and of course, even that's not enough. There has to be judgment and rulership and the great white throne judgment. Revelation 16, verses 12 to 14. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This represents Babylon falling. And that river drying up, Euphrates, is just like that river we're talking about earlier, where the goat is standing there. It's Babylon. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs And Babylon gets dried up. That's my point. It gets dried up. Babylon falls. But what happens then? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This represents the spiritual powers that are going to come up against Mystery Babylon, against the world. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. So this tells us right away, you know, the world does not, I didn't, nobody did. Nobody saw these scriptures and attributed them to the man of perdition on my throne. That's how God comes as a thief, because the world is looking for something outside of what these scriptures are saying. And that's what fools us every time. If we don't apply it inwardly, then Christ will come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. The policy, man's wisdom, which we're not to trust in, but in the living God, of this evil time that is fast approaching us and is already being implemented as we speak, is being enforced. Through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. That's that word, policy, right? Mm-hmm. Success. Page 79:22. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There are three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, because there is a process of ungodly judgment that must unfold in order to set the stage just prior to the appearing of Christ and the elect. It's not that it's not righteous, because God is allowing it to happen, but it is ungodly in what these spirits are doing. But it is serving God's purpose, because it's humbling men, and it's destroying the beast. It's destroying the harlot first. He destroys many by saying peace and safety, and by peace shall destroy many. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So in that way, there's two births taking place. We're the man-child, and we've been raised in heaven, and we're hoping to endure to the end. And this other child is there being travailed in Babylon and won't escape. That through his policy is another way of saying what we read of in Daniel 7:25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Through his policy, again, man's wisdom. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, 1,260 days. Lying dead in the street, that's what God has called the elect unto. The fruit of this age is also revealed in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 8, where we're told that the craft, which represents the powers and lying wonders of the devil, will abound at the end of the age. And that's important to this also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So lying powers of the devil will abound at the end of the age, empowering the stout. I am a God sitting in the temple of God, the spirit of the man of perdition, who is on the throne of mankind's heart, who says his ways will bring peace, when in reality, it will only bring destruction. Even this is the spirit of this age, that is the spirit of Antichrist, that shall also stand up against the prince of princes, against Christ and his Christ. Matthew 10, verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. In 1 John 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So that's speaking of that time, the mystery of iniquity, but it is the last time now for all those who it is. And of course, there is the end time fulfillment when things really come to a close. Verse 26, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Daniel is told that this vision is true. And the vision is all about the creation that is going to be formed through judgment. A vision that is of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Just as the creation story that typifies the creation of the new creature formed in Christ, which was told, is true. And like Daniel, who typifies the patience and faith of the saints, the elect must wait patiently for it shall be for many days. Many days that in reality are a mist from God's perspective, as he, Lord willing, matures us in this life so we can possess our souls patiently and endure to the end. And here's the verses that talk about the evening and the morning. Genesis 1, verses 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And they're all bookend, evening and morning. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day, etc. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Hebrews 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that comes shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Luke 21, verse 19, in your patience possess you your souls. Verse 27, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel was astonished at the vision and at the interpretation of the words, so much so that he fainted and was sick for a period of time. This typifies for God's elect how the word is sweet in our mouth, but bitter in our bellies, causing us to faint and be sick, so as we can't rise up and run with horses, as Elijah was told he must do. But in time he did, and in time so did Daniel rise up as a type of the elect who was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Typifying how God's elect are astonished at what God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear, that none of the prophets of old understood. And of course, none of Babylon understands. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Matthew 13, verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And that's the vision that God's given us. That's why that title is apropos, because we've been given this vision that appeared unto Daniel, but has actually been interpreted for us by the Holy Spirit. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.